you have your Bibles tonight, would you please find the book of Psalms for a few moments? I want you to find Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Probably the most difficult, but yet the most important thing that a pastor does. It's not so much preach a message. It's not so much pastor people, although those two are vitally important. Probably one of the most, if not the most important thing we do, is we beg God for His direction. We beg God for what He wants for His people. It's easy to preach. It's easy to study. Those are fun. May not be fun for you, but it's fun for me. The hard part is getting the mind of God. That's what takes prayer. That's what takes spending time with Him. That's what takes listening to His voice. And I begged God at the beginning of the year, God, set me on a direction that You would have for our church and our people. I'm so burdened when you come to church. I want You to be fed. The responsibility of a pastor is to feed the flock of God. And I want You to be fed. One of the directions that God began to lay on my heart was the thought of fear. The thought of overcoming fear. And God clearly showed me that He wanted me to spend 4, 5, 6 weeks preaching on how to overcome fear. I find that many people live in fear. Fear is not always something that's easy to see on the outside. You can come to church and sit and come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you can have a smile on your face, and you can have it, quote unquote, all together, but inside be a prisoner of fear. I don't know that there's anything more miserable. There might be some equality to misery, but there's nothing more miserable than being afraid. There is a righteous fear. We find that in the Bible. That's the fear of the Lord, and we've been preaching about that. We've been preaching about that on Wednesday nights, and we've been talking about that as a reverential awe that we have for the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom, and we ought to have a fear of the Lord. But the Bible clearly says that to the child of God, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I find that we struggle in this. And we need some preaching on it. And so God's laid it on my heart. He brought me to Psalm 34, verse number 4. And here's a verse is written by David, a man who knew what it was to experience fear, a man who knew what it was to survive fear, a man that knew what it was to be delivered of fear. He wrote in verse number 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from what's the next word? All my fears. David was not a man that just had a single fear. David was a man that had a life of fear. David was a man that knew what it was to fear for his life. He knew what it was to fear for his family, for his existence, for his provision, for his kingdom, for direction. He knew what it was. David had a proper approach to his fear. He said in verse number 4, I sought the Lord with my fear. And his testimony is that he heard my prayer and he delivered me from all my fear. You know, David is not the only one to have problems with fear. I find that fear can normally in have such power in our lives. And if you really trace the existence of fear, I believe it is the very first enemy that came upon man. Paul said that death would be the last enemy to be defeated. But the first enemy that came to man was the enemy of fear. And by the way, let me say this, that outside of the fear of the Lord, that spirit of fear that riddles and detracts us from faith and keeps us in prisoner is our enemy. you might get used to living with the enemy, but an enemy is not to be tolerated. An enemy is to be defeated. And I'm finding that, and I mean this statement very carefully, God's people have the ability to adapt and to learn how to live with a handicap. And if we're not careful, we have part of our lives spiritually that don't line up with God's word, and they give us problems. But I was speaking to a man today, and he used a word. We've learned how to just kind of compartmentalize these things. And it's like we learn how to live with this cancer or this fear or this handicap. Listen, if you let cancer live in your body long enough, it could kill you. And you might be existing as a Christian in this with fear, but you're not enjoying the life of Christ with that. And fear, I think, is man's first enemy. Matter of the fact, when Adam sinned in the garden in the book of Genesis, the Bible said that God came and he said, Adam, where you at, boy? Adam. And Adam was hiding. And God said, why are you hiding, Adam? Do you remember what Adam said? Because we were afraid. He said, we were naked. Who told you you were naked? I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. I'm finding that there are many kinds of fear out there that people battle with. There is a whole multitude of fears. I might name your fear tonight. I'm going to try the best I can. Some people fear for their body. You have a health issue or sickness issue. Some people fear for their mind and they're afraid at some mental illness. Some people fear poverty. Some people carry the fear of losing their job. They live every day worried about whether or not they're going to keep their job. There's the fear of criticism. People can't handle being criticized. And it's amazing to me that how far people will go just not to be criticized. Let me tell you something. You're never going to grow spiritually unless you know how to handle criticism. There's the fear of temptation. There's the fear of consequences, of wrongdoing. Some people battle the fear of loneliness. This one's kind of mine, the fear of old age. Some people kind of fear the past catching up with them. Listen, if you're afraid of your past catching up with you, can I tell you the greatest thing you can do? Put that past under the blood. Once it's under the blood, it can't catch up with you. Some people are fear of the moment. Constantly afraid. Some people are fear of the future. They won't spend money because they're afraid of the future. They can't make a decision because they don't know what tomorrow may bring. They're just constantly worried about the future, and they're not enjoying today. These are kind of standard fears. I have found that there are some things called strange fears. Some people have phobias. I don't know if you're one of those people who won't walk under a ladder. Some people have a phobia of being buried alive. Some people don't want to fly an airplane because you're afraid to fly. Some of you don't want to ride with Pastor Jay. I understand that. We have some strange fear. Some of you won't eat at a certain restaurant. Some of you won't go certain places. You don't do things because you're afraid. You know, God understood that. He understood our nature. He understood what we would be. And so many times in the Bible, I read the words, fear not, fear not. I looked that phrase up, fear not, in my Bible. And I have a study Bible, and it gave me a list. of some areas of life where God said, don't be afraid. One of the areas of life was to, God said to Abraham when he was getting ready to take his journey, when he was getting ready to follow the will of God. Amazes me how much fear we have in doing God's will. Let me tell you something. The will of God may not be safe as far as it may not be easy. It may have some difficulty. It may have some valleys. It may have some mountains. It may have some troubles. But you definitely want to trust the will of God more than you want to be afraid of it. He said to Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, or to Jacob, for I am with thee and will bless thee. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. This was a promise to Jacob as Jacob was going forward. But he said, you don't need to fear following my will. I remember about the little widow woman, and Elijah is there, and the barrel of meal is empty, and she's going to make her last little cake. And Elijah says, make me a cake. And the woman says, sir, I don't have enough to make you a cake. I'm going to go make a cake for my son, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, no, if you'll honor God first, you won't die. And here's what he said. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. It amazes me the fear that God's people have in trusting the Lord first. I think the evidence of that would be tithing and giving. A person who doesn't tithe and doesn't give is a person who's a prisoner to fear. What about in dangerous situations when you take a stand for Christ and when you're going to be outnumbered and it all looks like there's no chance? Don't you remember Elijah and the servant there? And he answered, or Elijah said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Protection in the peril of life. In strength, I could keep going on. In overshadowing of care, knowing that fear not, for we're more valuable than the sparrow. Many, 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 many times in the Word of God, God tells His people to fear not. We've got to learn. We've got to learn how to be in that position where we're able to go by faith and not be prisoners to fear. I want you to go, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. I want to show you just two things tonight that I want to think about as you come back for next week. Mark chapter number 6. I want to make a statement to you, and then I want to read God's word, and I don't want you to panic on me. I want you to think, and I don't want you to think I'm belittling you. I want you to listen. Most of the fear that troubles God's people comes from our imagination. It comes from our illusion. It comes from our fantasy. And the things that we are afraid of aren't even really real. Our perception, our misunderstanding, our human intellect, our earthly eyes, we look at things and we allow these things to strike in our hearts fear. But what we're really looking at is not even what we think it is. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter 6, I'll give you an example of this. Look at verse number 45. Straightway, he, that's Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. Pastor, do you believe Jesus walked on water? Yes, I do. And would have passed by them, But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a what, class? A ghost. A ghost. A spirit. They see with their perception, and immediately their imagination goes to a spirit or to a ghost. Keep reading. Verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. Now let me ask you a question. Was it a ghost? Yes or no?
No.
And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not what?
Afraid.
So here are the disciples. They're out there. They're in the midst of toiling, and they're in the midst of difficulty. And Jesus is coming to them. And as they see him on the water, immediately in their imagination, they're afraid. They suppose it to be a ghost. They've made this up. There's this illusion. There's this imagery here. And the first thing it is that it's got to be negative. It can't be the Lord. It's got to be a problem. And the first thought there is not faith. It's fear. And there was no reason to be afraid. And I find a lot of times that Christians, we go through our life and we are afraid of things where there's no reason to be afraid. And we think about it and we let it ponder and we think, well, it has to be evil or it has to be a ghost or it has to be this. And immediately we just cower in this. And a lot of times it's our imagination. A lot of times it's our perception. A lot of times it's that we're unguarded. A lot of times it's that we don't recognize and walk with the Lord in a way to recognize him. And so God has to cry out and speak to them and say, hey, it's me. It's me. So sometimes God brings situations into our life. And immediately we look at that situation and we say, that is a ghost. And I'm terrified of that. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't do this. I'm in this panic. I got to sell here. I got to move here. I got to do this. And I think sometimes God says, wait a minute. It's me over here. It's me over here. But we're so afraid. Go, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Turn back just a moment. I think I can show you what drives fear. I want to show you this in Mark chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse 35. Again, the disciples are on the water. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now this time Jesus is in the boat with them. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Boy, there's power in Jesus Christ. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so, say class, fearful? How is it that you have no what? In one episode, they're on the water without him. And they see him coming, and immediately they're just, it's a ghost. Immediately they're afraid. No idea, no even thought that it would be God, Jesus, coming to them to help and secure them. And now he's in the boat, and they're having a difficulty, and they're scared out of their mind. And they wake Jesus up, and Jesus says, hey, peace be still. And then he looks at him, he says, what are you so afraid about? I really believe that the answer is found in verse number 38. There was a reason they woke him up. And here's the reason why. It's in their question. Master, carest thou not that we, say it, perish? And I do believe that the thought of perishing is one that we wrestle with our whole lives. I think that God's people battle this thought of perishing. Not only in the end of our life, but in the details of our life. We don't want our job to perish. We don't want our marriage to perish. We don't want our home to perish. We don't want our success to perish. We don't want our money to perish. We don't want our standard of life to perish. We don't want the freedom we have to perish. We don't want the things that we have to perish. And if we were all honest, that thought that either ourselves or something in our life would perish strikes fear into our hearts. It's constantly in our concentration. We talk about yielding all to the Lord, but we still battle this thought of perishing. And there's two things that come about from that. Number one, it really shows that I don't care how long we've been a Christian or whatever, we're not really big on suffering. We're not really big on letting go. We're not really big on yielding everything to the Lord, because we don't want to perish. And so God comes and sends us a direction, but God, I could perish in that direction, so I'm afraid. I don't want to do that. God comes and says, hey, I want this, but God, I only have so much money. We could perish in that. God, I only have so much time, and I could perish in that. And that thought of perishing drives us. And here's what it does. It has such power, it can drive you to even think that God doesn't care. Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? Could you please look at verse number 35? And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto what class? So God's word said they were going where? Other side. And I promise you, where God says you're going to go, you're going to go. And so God had given them a direction. They're going to make it. Jesus is so confident in that he is asleep, not worried about the storm. But they're worried about perishing. And I don't want to lift myself above them, but I think God comes to us sometimes and God says, now listen, I'm going to take you this way through life. I'm going to take you this way through my will at this moment. And I'm going to take you from here to here. And the thought of going from there to there, we battle that thought of perishing. Because we don't want to surrender. We don't want to lose. We don't want to be without. And that thought of perishing enables for fear to come into our lives. So much fear that we won't trust the Lord at His word. So much fear that we don't even trust the Lord in His character. So much fear that we don't even trust that He's with us in our life. And so you have godly people that know Christ. The Spirit of God lives in them. And they're terrified. Listen, if Jesus can secure these men in this boat, He can secure you in your life. We have to get out of this prison of fear. But you won't do it unless you're honest. And honesty is, most of us, we don't want to lose anything for Christ. We don't want to suffer any perishing. And that's always in the back of our mind. Always in the back of our mind. And so we miss out a lot of times. We don't yield everything we have. We don't serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. The devil will always tell you you cannot trust Jesus. Your flesh will always recoil at trusting Him at His Word. And I've grown to love our president. I pray for that man. But they're doing to us what the devil does to you. All of them, the president and the Congress, they stand up and they give us a doomsday scenario. If you do this, the whole world's going to fall apart. I got news for you. He has the whole world in His hands. So the devil comes to you and says, if you do that, your whole world will perish. No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God help us to be delivered like David from all our fears. I guarantee you, there's some things God wants to do in your life, in and through your life, but you're not letting that from that position of fear. And I want to go and I want to talk about fear, and I want to expose some of the fears throughout this series. And I want it to be a blessing. Sunday night crowd is a crowd that loves the Lord. I do not want it to be a crushing one. I want you to leave here lifted and knowing that you can trust the Lord. And so we're going to preach a little bit on overcoming fear. Shall we pray?